Welcome to Go Gray Dame on Talk Zone. Dame is a title given to women, the equivalent to knight. This show honors our dames and inspires you to embrace your third act of life. Now, here's the host of Go Gray Dame, Renee Steelman.
Hi, good afternoon. I am so anxious to talk with you all today because I have a new friend and I'm going to be talking with her, and she's going to be sharing a little bit about her life and her new season and just kind of what led up to it. And I think that's very fascinating for all of us to listen to. I have to warn you ahead of time, I am broadcasting today from not sunny Arizona, but rather gray, cloudy, and rainy Washington State, which is where we came from when we moved to Arizona. But I still have children here, and that means I also still have grandchildren here. And I am babysitting for four of my grandchildren while my son and his beautiful wife are taking a little break, and they are having a glorious time in Nashville. So, I love the rain and I hate the rain. It's kind of a love-hate relationship. The air feels so good. It's so moist and you kind of feel like you're doing a spa treatment on your skin when you come back. But Hannah and I took I have a little three-year-old that's still at home. The other three are in school. So Hannah and I took a little walk this morning and we barely made it 2 miles before we had to come home because it started to sprinkle. So, and I wasn't prepared to take a walk in the rain like I may have used to have been in the days that I actually lived here. But actually, one of my funnest things to do was to go for a run in the rain here in the Northwest, because it's a light rain. It's one of those, I don't know if you've ever heard the cliche, but you know, people in Washington, Oregon, Pacific Northwest, we rarely use umbrellas because it's just kind of constant and it's almost like a little bitty drizzle. So you just kind of get used to it. And it just felt so good to go for a run in the rain. So, but not with a three-year-old. So there. And it's interesting. I mean, I raised six children. So I'm used to three-year-olds, but you know, you do forget. And we have Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on. We have a new doll and we have animal crackers and a bottle of water. So you would think that I would be set to have a three-year-old be able to entertain herself while I talk today, but we'll see, because this is a little, she's one of those quiet three-year-olds that you know that you better go check on her if it gets too quiet. And I have made a few mistakes in the last couple of days and found that she really likes getting into the pantry. So it's been fun. Anyway, sweetheart, fabulous. So today I want to talk to you a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Stacy. We're waiting for Stacy to get online. She's a new Skype user, so she isn't familiar with this. But I want to tell you a little bit about how Stacy and I met, because I think with this new world that we're living in, this new COVID version of life has opened up the possibilities of meeting new people in various different ways. And even if you are meeting new people in your city, in the town that you live in, we are being forced to get to know people in a different way. But I don't think it changes the dynamics of how we're finding friends or how we are attracted to each other. So Stacy is a Silver Sister. In other words, for those of you that don't know, there is a community on Instagram called Silver Sisters. If you hashtag Silver Sisters, you will find a group of women. It's just women, hence the name Sisters, of women who have chosen to let their hair go natural. And they are very supportive. They're very helpful. They have tips and support and ideas for people. And it mostly has been a supportive environment for most people. There are a few people on the in the group that have tried it don't like it and have gone back to coloring their hair. And that's great. That's what this is all about, is being able to find what works for you. And so Stacy is, she doesn't fit the old lady qualification, but she does fit the silver qualification. And she has a fabulous and interesting life. So I met her through Instagram. She is a really fun reel maker. She makes really fun reels. And I believe they also transfer into TikTok, and they're hilarious. And I just knew after looking at her reels and following her on Instagram that she is someone that I would probably like to go away on a weekend adventure with. And considering the fact that she used to be a retired correctional, or she is a retired correctional officer, I think that would make her even more fun, because, you know, it's always good to have to be a friend with somebody that kind of knows the rules, right? Knows the ins and outs. So anyway, that's how Stacy and I met. So let me bring Stacy on the show, and I will let her tell her story, and we don't have to just listen to me babble on and on. So Stacy, are you there?
I'm here.
You have had a crazy day.
Yes, I have. Technical difficulties.
Always. Now tomorrow, if you have absolutely nothing going on, everything will work perfectly. That is the Murphy's Law, right?
100%. That's how it's going to go.
Exactly. Now, the question, though, is, have you had anyone throw up on you yet today?
Not today.
Okay, so we're good. We're still good. There's still a level. There's a bar that hasn't been crossed. So that's a good thing to know. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, Stacy, I have given you as much of an introduction as I can. I was just telling everyone how we met, which is I think, 2 years ago, if you said to someone, I met this person on Instagram, they would be like, oh, honey, no, you need to get a life. But because of COVID, when you say, I have met someone on Instagram, they're like, uh-huh, tell me more, because that's kind of how we're all meeting now. And so I've explained a little bit that we met on Instagram, but that I felt, and, you know, have you seen that TikTok out there where somebody's sitting and they're like, oh, are we going to be good friends? Are we going to be best friends? Just, you know, somebody walks past. Yeah. Okay. That's what I felt when I saw your reels and your posts on Instagram. I'm like, oh, girl, we are going to be good friends. I just know how that's going to work. And I don't know whether it's a Midwest connection, because I'm from Illinois, you're from Iowa, or what, but I don't know. I just felt like, yeah, that's somebody I need to get to know a little bit more. So tell everyone, and I also explained, Stacy, that you don't fit the over 60 category yet. In fact, you don't even fit the 50 category yet, but we are giving you a hall pass because you have a fabulous and interesting life, and you are a silver sister. So that is your in. So tell the world a little bit of... You get a hall pass today. You get a silver pass. All right. So tell us, start from not the very beginning, but tell us a little bit about how you grew up, where you grew up, what your environment was, urban, rural, size of your family, just to give us a little idea of what your environment was like, because, you know, there is always environment is a factor in forming who we are and who we become. So tell us a little bit.
Sure. I grew up in Iowa. I was born and raised here, and I actually grew up in a dysfunctional family and was a child from divorced parents at 2 years old. Both my parents remarried. We moved around a lot, and I didn't really grow up in any specific place. It was just all over Iowa. I graduated from high school in Sioux City, Iowa, and I did move back to my hometown of Webster City, Iowa, and raised my kids there in that area of Iowa, and was in and out of we had joined a couple different churches and was looking for a church home. When I was in high school, I was introduced to church. I had never been to a church before growing up. I was 16. I did not know who Jesus was. Never really had heard about God in my family. That wasn't anything that was discussed. And so that was a big life-changing moment when I was 16. And I was baptized at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Sioux City. And so after I graduated high school and moved back home in my area, and I did get married and started a family, we kind of dappered in a couple different churches. I was drawn to a Baptist church because that's what I was introduced to as a teenager. And we did go to church there for a few years, but we had some differences, I'd like to say, with how things were going there. And so we did stop going to that church. We moved to a new community and was at a church for a few years. And then decided that we wanted to get our children back into church. They were getting to be school age. And we did find a home church. And I truly believed it was my forever home. Went there for, I want to say, maybe 15 years. I'm not even sure. And at least 10 years. I had an event come up in my life where I chose to end my 20-year marriage, and I decided to give up my home and my community and my church. I packed 4 bags, and I left. My kids were now adults and grown, and I decided it was time for me to go out on my own. And I've started my life completely over. That was 8 years ago, and I have not been back to a church. I visited my home church back there, I believe, twice now, and it's not home anymore. I kind of lost a lot of connections. Part of the church didn't accept the fact that I left my husband after 20 years and I started my life over. I was unfriended on social media. When I did go back to church to visit, I actually, after I remarried, I took my new husband because those friends were my family for many years. And it was uncomfortable. Not everybody was friendly. And that was kind of devastating. And I just learned a lot about my faith. My faith has always been very, very strong as an adult. God has gotten me through things that I don't know how I would have gotten through without faith. And I have learned that Jesus is not in the building. He's not in the church. Jesus is at my house. Jesus is in my car. I miss the community of having a church family, but I have learned that God loves me no matter where I'm at, what I'm wearing, and he forgives me, and I don't have to be in a building
right.
to be with him.
So that's so interesting, because I hear that from people who have left a lot of different religions. It's not just based on one particular religion, but any religion that is more orthodox or more fundamental, the people who choose to leave it kind of have the same story. And I find it fascinating from being an outsider who used to be an insider, you probably feel the same way, where I was just as much to blame. When people would leave the congregation, I would think, oh, you don't really have enough faith, or you don't really understand how Jesus works, or whatever you come up with. You can come up with it. Everybody has their ideas. And then when you start to question your own the teachings from the religion that you lived in, you start going, oh, wait, okay, now I get it. You know, and I find that in a lot of different religions. When you were, like you said, when you were two and your parents got divorced, did you primarily live with one parent more than the other?
Yes, I lived with my mother until I was 9 years old, and then I lived with my father for a few years, and then I actually went into foster care.
Oh, geez. Okay. Wow. So there wasn't even like a really good every other weekend, 3 weeks in the summer. It was all or nothing.
It was a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah. Wow.
So my parents were foster alcoholics.
Oh, okay. That's so hard. Oh my gosh.
So that kind of explains a little.
Yeah. That's so hard. I have never had to deal with that. I mean, both my parents were not non-drinkers, but they, mm-hmm. in fact, my best memories are my father's family. They were just really a tight-knit family there we just lived a little bit south of Chicago, and you know, my best memories were the family gatherings, poker and fun games, and just sitting around listening to adults talk. And there was always beer or alcohol, but I've never mm-hmm. had to live with dysfunction from alcoholism. And that is definitely just something that I can't even imagine. And I'm so sorry that that happened. Did you find the foster system to be a relief for you, or how did that work?
Yes, it was very hard for me to accept at first, because I had it in my head that foster homes were for bad kids who get in trouble.
Oh.
And I had never gotten into any trouble. I just didn't have parents that could raise me. And
right.
So once I got past that and got those thoughts out of my head, I absolutely fell in love with my foster parents. They were a young couple. Oh. And they were unable to have children of their own, and they had another foster son that was a young boy, Chucky, and he just became my little best friend. And they were amazing. We sat down at the table for dinner together. I had never done that as a family.
Wow.
And we did chores together. I had never really done that. I'd never done any family structure. And so they introduced that to me, and I was there with them for 2 years. They did start adopting children. Their first son was 4 months old when he came home. And so I got to be a part of that. And when I was 18, I found out that I was free. I could go, and what 18-year-old isn't going to run, you know, and be in charge of their own life. So I did move out right at 18, and I do regret that a little bit. I wish I would have stayed because they wanted me to. But I've kept in touch with them my entire life. I have went back and visited. I have met all the adopted. There's 8 children.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we just lost my foster mom last year in 2020. It was devastating. I've lost both my parents, and now I've lost my foster mom also. So it was pretty tragic.
Wow. Okay. So you stayed, from what age did you go into the foster program?
16 to 18.
Oh, okay. Wow. So they took on a 16-year-old, which is tough. I mean, that's not an easy age. Yeah. And for them to do that is what wonderful people. And then to adopt. Yeah. So they had you at 16, then they had another little boy. How old was he again?
Chucky, I think he must have been about 7 or 8. I don't remember.
And
they had a variety of kids come and go. They had another high school boy who I'm still very, very good friends with to this day, because we met there. And I'm still friends with Chucky on social media. He's all grown up, and they had multiple other siblings coming in and out that didn't stay very long. But they did adopt 8 children and raise
them. That's amazing. You know, that's so good to hear, because you hear the opposite stories about foster homes. You hear that. I think that's more prevalent, and that's sad, because it gives the foster program a bad rap. So it's nice to hear really success. So you were living with them at 16. And did you find your church community through them, or through friends at high school?
No, through my foster parents. He was a deacon at the church.
Okay.
And they were very involved with it. She taught Sunday school, and So when I moved in with them, it was, you know, just expected that I go to church with them. And
right.
I had never been to a church before, so I had no idea what I was in for. But it was an amazing experience. It changed my life.
Right.
And I still have friends who I keep in touch with from the church all those years ago.
Right. Now, did you meet your husband at that time at church?
No, I did not. And okay. I actually married my high school sweetheart right after high school.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I was 18 and I knew everything and my mom told me not to do it. So I did it. And actually 9 months later, I had to tell my mom she was right. And I had made a mistake. And so that was just a little practice run. And then I did get remarried, and was married for 20 years before I left that marriage.
Okay. You know, it's so funny because I took two of my granddaughters to go see Jim Gaffigan and, last week. And part of his routine, he does a little thing where he talks about teenagers knowing more than anybody and, you know, not listening to their parents. And I thought, oh, this is a really good thing for them to be listening to, you know, because it's just part of the program. I mean, everybody just knows that that's how it is. But I remember, you know, I think you're right. I mean, for me, I am confused at the 18-year-olds that don't want to leave home. I'm kind of like, wow, what? That's because I was the same way. I was like, get me out of here now, you know. And I think it should be that way. I remember when my kids got to that age, they were just really difficult. And I remember thinking, oh, this is how the program works. They act a certain way so that you dislike them so much that when they leave, you're like, bye.
Yes.
You know, don't let the door hit you, you know? And then after they come back, you're like, oh, I'm so glad you're back, you know? There's like a plan there. So that's great. So 20 years you're married. Now you had to have gone to a lot of different schools, right? I mean, 9 years, you know, a few months with this mom, a few months with dad.
I went to many different schools. We moved around a lot. And you know, when I was 9 years old, I was living over by Sioux City in North Sioux City, South Dakota, just over the bridge. And my mother was a full-blown alcoholic and things were not good at home. And my dad had found out that at 9 years old, I had been left alone for days at a time and was basically taking care of myself and my dog. And so my dad did come and get me during Christmas break. And he used the excuse that he wanted me for the holiday. And then once he got me at his house, he never let me go back. So he kind of took me away from my mom. Well, things weren't a lot better living with my dad. He was a workaholic and gone all the time. And we lived on an acreage and he hired a helping hand, a farm hand. And there was abuse for 4 years before it was found out about.
Yeah.
And so at that time, then my dad lost all rights to me. And so my mom did get me back, but things were still out of control there and it did not go well. And I didn't even live there for a year before she lost complete custody of me.
Right.
And that's how I ended up in the system.
Wow. That I am so sorry. That is so, so sad and unfortunately not that unusual. And
it is not. And you know what? Don't be sorry and don't be sad. I have no ill feelings toward my parents. As I grew up, my mother became my best friend and I honestly thanked her for giving me up and making that decision because I would not be who I am if she would have raised me.
Yes.
I would not be who I am if I wouldn't have met those foster parents who introduced me to God and showed me what a family life is.
Right.
I'm so thankful.
And that's the hard part because I, you know, I look at my own, you know, every generation has their, you know, my parents were, you know, Depression era, World War II era, They, you know, farm people, you know, came from a large family, 8 kids who ran around, you know, the farm. Nobody knew who they were. That's how it was back then, right? Mm-hmm. So because of that, she wasn't really involved in our lives, my brothers and I. But that's because she wasn't raised like that. And so sometimes I resent it now looking back. It's like, where were you? How come you weren't here? You didn't come to any of my high school stuff, or, you know, you didn't give me rides to anything, or this kind of stuff, you know. But then I think, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have learned how to be independent. I wouldn't have learned how to take control out of my own life and exactly. how to make decisions quickly. And so, you know, it's such a better way of looking at the blessings of what you've learned. I mean, there's severe abuse, so we can't, you know, we don't want to mm-hmm. be naive, but there are, what a better way to look at what formed you and how you became the person you are. So tell me how this led to a career in the correctional system.
You know what? When I got divorced and I moved away, I moved to a big city, Des Moines, Iowa. It's our capital. Uh-huh. I didn't know anybody there except for my daughter. She had went there for college and never came back. She didn't want to be in a small town. So I knew her, and she had already started a family. So she obviously could not entertain me daily. So I really had to start my life over there. And I eventually met friends and eventually built kind of a new circle, and I ended up meeting a cute boy in Southern Iowa, and we did get married, and I moved down here because he owned his home, and he had one child left still in school, so he couldn't relocate, and I could because I was free and independent. And so I ended up down here in this community, and it was by chance that I ended up in law enforcement. A local gal said, hey, you should apply for this job that we have open. You'd be great at this. And I did it, and they hired me. And I was cross-trained to be a 911 dispatcher and a correctional officer jailer. I thrived on the jailer part, and I loved it. I was not crazy about 911 dispatch because we are in a small community, and I took a number of calls. Everybody knows everybody here, but I'm not from here.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, you know, there's a bad situation happening, and they're telling me to turn at the yellow barn, and I don't know where the yellow barn is. I need physical addresses. I need details. And not everybody in a panic mode understands that. And so I actually told the sheriff that I just don't feel like it's safe for me to not know the area with these calls. And so I basically became full-time jailer, and I did help answer 911 calls, but I always had a dispatcher there with me who would know where the yellow barn is or something. So I loved that job, and it was exciting. I learned a lot, but
so what was the, give us an example. Give us like a day in the life of what you experienced or the people that you were working with. That, I mean, that to me just sounds scary. And I don't know if I'd be able to sleep at night. So tell us, like, give us a day in the life.
There was quite a few 911 calls that I will never forget. One that really stuck with me was a 911 call from a semi driver who ran over a body on the interstate. We're just 6 miles from the interstate, so we get a lot of our calls from the interstate. And it was an elderly man that had gotten turned around and gotten out of his truck. And it was very, very sad. And that was a hard one. One of the hardest times that I had being on that phone and not being able to leave the building is a dog kennel fire, and the owner had called and was screaming, my dogs are burning up. Help me. Please help me.
Gosh.
I am, I'm a dog mom, and I've had a dog off and on my whole life. And especially since my kids left and went to college, I'm pretty obsessed with my dogs. They're my babies now.
Yeah.
So I will never forget that call and never forget not being able to go help her save those babies.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, you know, on the jailer side, of course.
Yeah.
I met all kinds from all over the United States. I would
now
book them in.
You were obviously working in a female correctional jail, right? I mean, you would be dealing with the women.
No, with men and women. It's men and women.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything from murder to child molestation, which hit very close home with me. To domestic, to drugs. You know, we have had a lot of inmates come in that were my kids' ages in their 20s, and, you know, they would be addicted to meth or another drug, and that really tugs on a mom's heart because after a few days, those kids become so sweet and nice and not the same person I booked in, and they really tugged on my heart sometimes, and it was hard to see them living their life like that.
Right, right. And again, somebody like that has experienced what you experienced could take these people in and totally empathize with whatever it is they're telling you or whatever it is they've experienced. And were you kind of a confidant at any certain point, or did you have to keep everything at an up and up professional level? Or what did you find?
Everything really needed to be up and up and professional. And, you know, it didn't matter if they killed a baby. It didn't matter if they molested a 2-year-old. It didn't matter if they wrote a bad check. They all get treated the same. I cook for them. I clean for them. I search their unit. I take them to the rec room. And I have to treat them all like humans.
Yeah.
My job was to keep them alive and safe.
So what kind of training did you have to go through? Because physically, you were at, you know, in harm's way every day.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the training that you had to go through?
Training in Des Moines, Iowa at the police academy. And then every year we would go for more training. I was not able to carry a weapon in the jail. There's no weapons in the jail. Thankfully, I was never hurt. I always felt safe, really. The deputies and the officers that I got to work with were very good and very good to us. And I always felt like they had my back if I needed them.
Right.
When I was booking people in, I always, you know, I felt safe. They were there for me. So.
That's amazing. And how many years
did
you do that?
I loved the job, to be honest. I was there 2.5 years, I think. I really love the job, and in a small Southern Iowa community, it's a good job with IPERS and decent pay and benefits. It was very, very demanding. I worked a lot of night shift, but we also did a lot of 8-hour turnarounds where I would get off at 11 p.m. but needed to be back at 7 p.m. So, you know, you either eat, sleep, shower, you pick and choose. You don't get to do everything. and being on the bottom of the totem pole, I worked, you know, holidays. My one full day off was a Thursday, so I got Thanksgiving off as the only holiday. And it was really hard on my family life. It was really hard on my kids because I'm not from here. And I have to travel to see my children. And I have grandchildren, so I have to travel to see them. Nobody is local for my kids. And even my husband's kids, they grew up and moved away. So that became really hard, and it got to the point where I would ask for a day off, and if you don't have personal time, you don't get a day off. My grandson in preschool called and wanted me to come to his little chorus concert. It was his first big thing, and I asked if I could have an evening off so that I could go, and I was told no because I didn't have the personal time. I can't go. And I explained to them that I had actually already started a little side gig of selling shampoo and money wasn't important to me. I don't need to be paid.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not asking to be paid. You know, I'm like, I just need to go see my grandson's thing in Des Moines and it's an hour away. And, I had to call my grandson and tell him no. And he cried and I cried. that really tugs on my heart. So
yeah,
I had gotten introduced to this shampoo, and my friends all wanted to start using it, and so I kind of started talking about it more. And one day my husband, we had invited to, I don't remember if it was a holiday. It was in March. So I think it was just a bonfire party or something we had been invited to when it was going to get nice out. And my husband said, why are we always telling the kids no? Why are we always telling our friends no? He's like, you make more money selling shampoo than you do working every weekend, every night. Every holiday, he's like, why don't you just quit your job? And I was like, do what? That was not planned.
I'm from the Midwest. And, you don't quit your job in the Northwest. That's crazy. You work till you're dead. Oh, my gosh.
You should have heard my dad when I talked to him about quitting my job that I had IFRS.
Yeah.
And he was like, do what? But you know what? I talked to God about it. And family is more important than any dollar bill will ever be to me. And my family is everything. And I prayed about it, and I put my 2 weeks in. I stepped out on faith and said, okay, God, you've never let me be homeless or hungry, so I'm trusting you. That was 3.5 years ago. I have not had a time clock job since. I work full-time from home or anywhere I want. I travel a lot. I not only sell shampoo now, but the company had started in 2014 with just hair care products, but then we got skincare lines, we got wellness lines, we got bath and body lines. The company just turned 7 years old this month, and it's still exploding, and who knows what's next that we're going to get, but it's absolutely booming, and I couldn't be happier. I don't tell my kids no anymore.
Right. So did that... Which came first, the Instagram or the business, the home business that you have going? Is that what encouraged you to get on social media?
I had Instagram years ago, but looking back, all I ever posted was dog pictures. I never really got into Instagram, but I was always on Facebook. And I honestly built my entire business on Facebook. I've never done home parties. Not that I wouldn't. I would love to, especially now that, you know, after COVID lockdown, I would love to get out and mingle more. But I honestly have built my entire business on social media, on Facebook. And then one of my mentors, she absolutely loves Instagram. And she was like, why don't you do Instagram too? So, I'm over on Instagram now.
Gosh. Okay, that's amazing. I'm going to let's take a little break. Because I want to talk about your hair journey. That's part of our thing is, you know, letting our hair be what it is. And let's use that as a segue. Let's take a little break and then we'll come back and talk about your hair and your fabulous hair products.
Absolutely.
Now, more of Go Gray Dame with Renee Steelman on Talk Zone.
Hey, thanks for coming back. We're talking with Stacy this morning or this afternoon, and she has been telling us about how she grew up and what were the environmental things that formed her and made her who she is. And I think that the most outstanding thing that I've heard is her resiliency and how she took trauma and took not good situations and turn them into strengths. And I think that's a fabulous lesson. It says a lot about her personality and it says a lot about what life can do for people and, or what, how life can harm people. And I think she's a great example of turning bad situations into gifts and goals. And so it's been very interesting, Stacy. Thanks for sharing your being vulnerable for everyone and letting us know. One of the things you mentioned was kind of going in and out of your faith journey. Where do your children fall? As now you mentioned that you're not really attending a church community right now, but you still have faith and you're still very in tune with a belief. So where do your children fall, and has that brought any tension in the family, or how has that worked out for all of you?
My girls grew up going to church, and they were very active in youth groups and Sunday schools. I taught Sunday school for years. And when things happened between their dad and I filed for a divorce and I moved, my youngest daughter, who was 18 at the time, was approached by church members. And if I recall right, one was the pastor's wife, had seen my daughter in public and approached her and made comments about making mom and dad get back together, making mom and dad work this out. My marriage was not a happy marriage. It was 20 years of loneliness, and I don't want to say anything bad about my ex-husband. He's my children's father. But it was not a happy marriage. There was some emotional, maybe mental abuse. And when I left, my daughter actually said, please don't come back, Mom. No matter what, don't come back now that you're free. So when she was approached by church members saying, you need to make your mom come back. You need to make your mom and dad get back together. It hurt her so bad. And she became very angry. And she will not go back to the church. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then how did your other daughter take it?
Once she left for college, she did come home for church randomly, not every week. But once I left the church, she went with me my last Sunday that I was going to be there. And we sat as a family, and her faith is very strong, but she doesn't have any desire to be treated that way.
Wow.
I'm always does not
perplexed.
Go. And she still lives in Des Moines, so.
Okay. I'm always perplexed at the evangelical proselyting that's done to try to bring people into a fold. But then when they leave the fold, there's such a complete reversal. It's like they love, you know, they almost love bomb people.
Yeah. It really shocked me. It really did. We had done marriage counseling with the pastor, and so he knew very well a lot of what was going on at home that other people, you know, didn't know. We owned a business in the community. We were very active in the community. I was the mom who was doing the volunteering for dances and prom and after prom, and I was on daycare boards, and you know, we were very busy in the community. Everybody knew us. And we were the couple that fought all the way to church. And then he would make me hold his hand and walk in because we were such a good family. So people were in shock when I left. And I understand that because we didn't tell anybody things were bad. You know, when a marriage has abuse in it, the women don't announce that. So
No.
But my girls both have very strong faith. And I'm very, very proud. They are both mothers now, and they are the most incredible young women I know in my life. And
That's amazing. That's amazing.
You don't have to be in a building to be, you know, saved. They believe they don't need to be. They have God with them always.
Exactly.
They just have their Bibles. I thought that was cute.
They definitely have their Bibles. Yeah, and I think there's even a scripture, I couldn't pull it out right now, but I think there's even a scripture where Jesus says, I am the temple. You know, you don't need to be in a temple. I am the temple. So I think that is important, that it's not the building. It's the belief and the action. That's the thing that I think is so hypocritical, is it's the action. It's not the words. It's what do you do with those words? Where's the love? Where's the kindness? Where's the charity? You know, I believe charity is the most, it's talked about as being this biggest strength that you should have, love, kindness, charity. Where did that go? And it's such a weird thing, because it's like almost a fear. They're so afraid that whatever has made you decide that that's not the community for you, that it's like a virus and that other people will catch it. you know, mm-hmm. and so then that's why all this shunning stuff happens. It's fabulous. It's
and
just
I can say that not everybody, of course, when I did go back and visit the last time, you know, I was really nervous because I said, you know, I don't feel accepted. I don't feel like, you know, and one of my girlfriends said, there's more people here that love you than don't love you. So don't mind them.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, then, you know, they opened me, open arms and was very excited to see me. So.
And that is you know, it's like they say with even social media, even though there'll be one negative comment and 45 positive comments, we only remember the one negative one. So it's probably the same where the two people that are shunning you
and
are like,
it is truly hard. Yeah. I preach it all the time to not worry about what others think about you. Don't care what others think. But for me, it's hard when, you know, I worry about what they're going to think.
Exactly. So tell us about, where were you at in your, I've decided to let my, cause right now, You're not completely gray. You still have a lot of color in your hair. So what is your hair silver journey looking like? You're completely gray. Okay. All right. I was thinking
I am completely. Because I have three or four different colors of gray, and people think that I pay for this. They think, they ask me a lot, who does your hair? Where do you get your hair done at? And I'm like, God did it. It's all natural.
Because you do, you have, it almost looks like it's been highlighted.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
I get compliments so much. After I retired from the time clock, my husband and I thought we would maybe sell our home, buy a travel trailer, and start traveling. And so we started making some plans on that. And I was still a blonde. I've had every color. Really, but I was blonde for quite a while. And the last time I went to a hair salon and got my hair colored, she overprocessed me. And because the products I use don't have wax or silicone, I do process faster, but she really overprocessed me. And my hair was so dry and brittle, and it was just really fried. And of course, my hair is my business card. It's my bulletin board. It, you know, I'm like, I can't.
Oh, wait. So everybody let me go in the back. World. So you were using your product before you decided to stop coloring. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I've been using the product for over 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so I came home in tears. And, you know, I told my husband, how can I brag about how wonderful my hair care is? And my hair looks like this. I'm like, these products are good, but it's not going to fix it overnight. And
right.
So we started talking, and I said, you know, when I'm traveling, if we sell the house and travel, I'm going to have to trust complete strangers with bleach on my hair. This is going to be hard for me. And when he said, go natural, stop coloring it. I'm like, oh, I can't be gray. I was like 45, 46 years old. I can't go gray. Yeah. And so then I started dappling because I started seeing so many other people with gray hair. Even young girls are paying for gray hair. And I thought, maybe I could. you know, I started thinking. And so I went to a different hairstylist. And I talked to her about it. And she said, well, we could put some gray. It's going to take a couple times, about $135 to start working on it, you know. And she said, I can't promise you the gray is going to match your roots. I hated roots. That was my biggest thing about coloring my hair was when the roots started showing, I was OCD about it. And she's like, I can't promise you, you know, that this color that we put on is going to match and not have the roots still. And jokingly, I think it was her that said, we could shave it off and just see what you get. And I said, okay, let's do it.
No, you did not.
Yeah. So we shaved it off, and she left just a little bit of, like, the root color on top. It still had a little bit of blonde, and we did, like, a fox mohawk, fake mohawk.
Yes.
And it was shaved buzz cut all the way to sides, the back. I loved it so much. And I actually had a big company trip coming up. My company was paying for me to go to Las Vegas and have these big, 4 days in Vegas, and I'm like, I cannot go with bad hair to a company event. I can't represent we are the number one premium hair care company, and I have fried hair.
Oh my gosh.
Even though I had this big event, I shaved my head. I loved it so much. And the crazy thing is, my husband loved it. He said it was short and sassy, and it was just like me. And
yes,
I actually had it redone 3 or 4 times. And then I said, let's start growing it out and see what I got. And I wore a pixie for a little while, and then I kind of wore a bob for a little while. And I really just kept playing around with it and more liking it. And then I decided I'm just going to start letting it grow. You know, the salons actually closed down for COVID, so
yes.
I didn't really have a choice, but I was okay with just letting it grow. And it is literally 3 or 4 different colors of gray. And people do ask me, who does my hair? Where do I get it done? Yeah. It is all natural. And I have natural curly hair. And, you know, if anybody listening has natural curly hair, you'll understand the love-hate relationship I have with it. I have spent my entire life straightening it, flat irons, curling irons, blow dryers. Just a few months ago, I decided to just embrace the curls. My company does have some amazing curly girl products. And so I thought, why not? And
that's amazing.
I'm just going to just go natural. I'm natural curls, natural gray. And it is the most freeing thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh my gosh. Well, that says, I don't know. To me, people who are strong enough to do a buzz cut, that's somebody that's you have built your strength. And I just think that says a lot about who you are and who you've become. So tell everybody, as we close up, tell everybody how they can find you so that you can tell them more about your business and your products. And because I have heard a lot of people talk about one of the hard things they have is as they go gray, their hair texture changes because if they've been coloring it for a long time, they either have damage or they didn't realize
you know,
they had damage because it was getting filled.
When you have blonde hair and you get a couple gray hairs, they're like wire. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I was kind of terrified that my hair was going to be like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but when you go all gray, it's not like that at all.
Exactly.
It is
not. Really is a product.
It really, yeah. So, my hair is so soft and so bouncy and light. Like I had said, they don't have any waxes or silicones. It's a plant-based product, natural-based. We're vegan, gluten-free. So honestly, it's healthy for everybody in the world. We have products for baby on up to grandma and grandpa. We have products for men, women, children, and we even have a dog shampoo and dog deodorant spray.
Oh, my gosh.
So we actually, yes, the entire family. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned, but I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and I need to be very careful with chemicals and things that I put on my body and my hair and things I eat. And so this was heaven sent for me. I was using salon products for years, and I found out that my favorite shampoo from the salon had formaldehyde in it.
Oh,
and
there you
I
go.
Was poisoning
okay.
myself. And so finding out that these are plant-based and natural and healthy, they not only are good for my body, but they have given me the best hair of my life. And
that's amazing. So how do
I can't
they find
say enough
you?
Good about
how,
it. I
how
really
do people
can't.
Find you? What's your Instagram?
I'm on Facebook, Stacey Legg, and it's StaceyLegg. On Instagram, okay. It is Stacey L. Leg, so it'll be StaceyLegg.
Okay.
And my email is StaceyLegg@yahoo.com. So it's super easy to find me.
Amazing. That is excellent. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for taking time. You can go back to your husband who's not feeling well today and go to the Apple store.
He went to work.
Get your computer fixed.
Work.
Oh, he went to work. Well, she's not going to take care of me. I'll just go back to work. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you so much for having me on here. And anybody that contacts me from hearing about this podcast and my products, I'm going to give a free product, too. So give me a holler, and I will spoil them a little extra with a 15% discount and a free product.
I love it. All right, Stacy, thank you so much. Hey, guys, I'm going to close this show up by telling everybody what I tell them every week. Go, Grey Dame. Go do you. Go do your third act. Go live your life. Thanks so much. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.